Thank you for tuning in to Beyond the Cup with Brian Peters. Take an opportunity to look at this throwback episode with myself, Pat Beers, and Stephanie Allison as we break down mediumship as well as the Spiritualist Church. This is a great opportunity for you to learn more information about spiritualism, mediumship, and all about spirit. Also, make sure you check out the Demystifying series with the Healing Brew coming up this year. We have a great new series planned with four fantastic classes. You can find out more information about this at thehealingbrew.com. And make sure you check out other episodes from Beyond the Cup, as well as stay tuned for after the episode for a little bit more information, as well as stay tuned for our ads. It's one of the ways that you can show your support for a small podcast. Thank you. We look forward to seeing you guys all Beyond the Cup.
Amazing.
I'm glad you brought my two favorite books.
Huh?
I'm glad you brought my two favorite books.
Two favorites? Mm-hmm. I brought all your favorites.
I know. But Destiny of Souls, Journey of the Souls, actually three.
Mm-hmm.
He's after
all. Oh, and I'm stuck over the peanut gallery.
Sorry.
Teacher.
He had to break us up because we were talking too much. I think so.
Okay.
Penny's mad at me.
Go find a place and lay down.
Dog house.
Yes.
Why?
Yes.
You just hear one why.
Okay. Well, welcome everybody. I'm just going to go ahead and get started. Whoever walks in, they'll have to play catch up. Right?
Sound like a fan.
Okay. So I'm going to start this first, and then we're going to follow up with you, and then we're going to do Q&A. Okay? That work?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So tonight is about, we're talking about spirit and the afterlife. So how many of you have come to Spirit Circle?
How did you know?
You've been here, yeah. So you know pretty much what we're, and you know what I'm going to do before we even get started. Who are you?
Pat Beers.
I know you're Pat Beers.
Oh, okay. I thought you were asking me to...
Tammy.
Christine.
John.
Ann.
Amy.
Brian.
Tracy, and I didn't know that was Pat, so
thanks. That's why we're
Thank
not
you.
An introduction.
Patty.
And I'm Stephanie. This is Reverend Pat Beers, and I'm Reverend Stephanie Allison. We're going to be talking about the afterlife and spirit, and Pat's going to talk about the Spiritualist Church and the Spiritualists, and about seances and physical mediumship and different things that go with spirit. When we do seances, different, there's not very many mediums around that do the physical, correct?
As far as I know, Greg and I, well, that's the one I'm going to go on. I know Greg does with the training, but.
The what?
The seances.
Yeah, as far as seances, but I mean the physical mediumship.
Mm, okay. Yeah.
You know, like Hoyt and, you know, some of those.
Hoyt Robinette.
Yeah. Right. So, basically what we're going to talk about, we're going to start out with spirit. So, we know that there is an afterlife. That once our body dies, our consciousness, our energy, we leave. And we go to spirit realm. So, with that, a lot of people say, well, how do you know this? I mean, like, mediums will say, well, you know, they're happy over there, they're this and that. Well, how do you really know that they're happy or they're sad? And then you have spirits that don't go to the light or don't go to the other side. And they are either discarnate spirits or ghosts or however you want to say. Because a lot of times the reason they don't go is maybe a tragic accident. Or a lot of times it could be because of,
they don't know they're dead.
They don't know they're dead. Or they feel that, and this is on a personal level, that they feel that they're not worthy to go to heaven, they're not worthy to see God, they're not worthy because of their religious beliefs, or, you know, they've committed suicide, so they're not supposed to go. They fooled around with other women, other men, other this and that. They're drunkards, they've done drugs, that, you know, all the bad aspects of living life on this planet because of cultural beliefs and because of religious beliefs. 9 times out of 10, they feel like they're not worthy, so what they do is they stay in what some people call purgatory, or they just create their own life between spirit realm and earth. Some people say they're earthbound. There are some houses that are haunted. There's grounds that are haunted. There's that looping effect from spirits, like people talk about Gettysburg. Gettysburg is a big one. Different battlefields, they'll still see soldiers still doing the same thing over and over, and it's a residual energy that soldier just keeps living in that loop, and he keeps still doing the same thing over and over and over. And the same thing with hauntings and houses, castles. It's that residual effect of them living that life continuously, because 9 times out of 10, they don't feel they're worthy. So at Spirit Rescue Circle, what we do is those that come forward, and we had a bunch last night. So we had a lot of people come last night, and we talk to them. We don't try to force them into the light. There's a lot of mediums and psychics that go, or with paranormal groups, that they want to force these spirits to the light. You can't force anybody to do anything they don't want to do. And that's respect. You have to respect them because they were human once. They are a consciousness just like us. They are energy just like us. So you need to respect them, but you need to let them know that you have boundaries and that you respect them. And if you talk to them just like I'm talking to you, and just explaining to them that, you know, you're loved. There's no one on the other side judging you. There's no one here in this room that's judging you. If you want to stay in your little purgatory or your life, that's up to you. But you have a choice, just like you did here on Earth. You can progress with your soul and your energy and move forward into the light and move on, or you can stay where you want. You don't force anybody to do anything they don't want to do. And so last night, it was kind of interesting because Brian brought it up about soul groups. We're going to talk about soul groups tonight. So, Brian, you want to tell them what you said about
there was different
energies that had come in.
As far as the brief synopsis of last night was we had a lady who stepped forward who had crossed because of disease. There was something going on with her as far as the plague or whatever. We were trying to figure out what was going on there. We had someone else who had stepped forward from, was it the Titanic at that point?
Yes.
It was the Titanic at that point and was talking about needing help, assistance in crossing. And then we had somebody else who had just stepped forward, and I was sitting over there, and I'm like, hey, it seems like there's a lot of loose ends, and I'm like, wait a second, and that's when I kind of brought up the fact that you have all these soul groups whose jobs is to assist the group previous in crossing over. So, and this was a conversation me and Steph had a few months ago, is if you have a group, say if you have the tsunami victims crossed, they're going to assist those with COVID not crossing. You have people who have died at 9/11 help those of the tsunami victims cross. There's always that continuation of spirit. There's always that progression of assisting the group before in that facilitation of spirit. And so you're always looking, there's always someone there to assist somebody else. And generally it's a soul group that decides to make that crossing. Yes, there's individuals that will make a crossing or whatever, but more times than not, you have spirit who says, you know what, this soul group's sole purpose is to do this. We're all going to leave at one hurrah.
And that's basically what happened last night was the room filled up with spirit. They were walking right through that door, so we were in a circle like we are tonight, and we threw our hands up, and we just sent energy to the center, and we invited them. We welcomed them in and said, we're in this, we've built this ring of energy. Please step into it if you're ready to move on with your life, move forward. And it got thick in here. I mean, it was like, and then all of a sudden, it was just kind of like you could start feeling the energy just lessen and lessen because they were leaving. They were just going everywhere. And you could just feel the energy just, and finally, it just all calmed down. I mean, there was heat. I was sweating. I was hot. Everybody was kind of warm or cold. It was just a variation. And then all of a sudden, you could just start feeling that lifting. And the air cleared out. They were gone. And it was silent. There was nobody whispering. There was no noises because we were having noises and whispering. And there was nothing. It was quiet. And so, you know, that was just part of Circle. But what he brought up was about soul groups. So I'm going to give you two names. Rob Schwartz. And I'm going to hand these around to you. And Rob Schwartz is a gentleman that wrote a book. He wrote two books. And those books are Your Soul's Plan, and the other one is Your Soul's Gifts. And for someone that is in the grieving process, in loss, these books are just absolutely wonderful because they really help in that process, because what he did was he had a talk with a medium, and he names these mediums that are in there, and they told him things that he had, that no one would know. And that they had connected with the spirit side of the house and told him all kinds of things. So he started really going around and interviewing different mediums that he trusted and talking about spirit world and how they channeled, and there's channelers in some of these books, and that they channeled messages from spirit and basically telling them that we have a plan when we come back here. And that plan is with our soul group. So these were the first two books I had read. And it was really right after I had lost my husband. And it was so... it just really, really brought a lot of things home to me. It helped me to cope a little better. It helped me understand, you know, that what I was feeling or seeing or knowing, not to doubt it. That, you know, my husband is coming through. He is giving me messages. And I need to trust that. And this kind of helped confirm everything that I was reading about, you know, how my husband may have been my son or daughter in another lifetime. And that, you know, are we soulmates or are we this? It talks about what it's like to lose a child. What it's like to have a miscarriage, what it's like to abort, and why that spirit decided not to be born. Because it's the agreement that we made back in spirit realm. It's those agreements. We come here with a veil over our eyes. We come here with amnesia because we're not supposed to know. Because if we knew everything, then we would be, what kind of lessons will we learn here? And that's basically what it is. This is school, and we come here to understand what we have to learn. So, you know, we might have a horrible life in this lifetime. And maybe it was because before we had this life where we were just privileged. We were a king or a queen or, you know, everything was handed to us. And then we decided, you know what, when I go back, I want to know what it's like to be a peasant. I want to know what it's like to be this. I need, because I need that for my soul's growth. I need that for how I need to evolve my soul. And so this book, those two books really made a big difference in my life, for me. And as I was reading different things, I came across a Dr. Michael Newton. And that really put the icing on the cake for me. And it would put the icing on the cake for any of you that are in doubt. Because Dr. Michael Newton actually is someone that did past life regressions. If you've ever heard of Brian Weiss, Dr. Brian Weiss, he is really the grandfather of, he wrote a wonderful book called Many Masters. And he learned how to do past life regressions. He's the first one that ever did past life regressions. And so Dr. Newton, he was doing past life regressions. And what it was, and the reason they were doing a lot of these, because a lot of times patients were coming in to their doctors, I've got this terrible pain in my back, and it's just, you know, it's on and on and on and on. And all of a sudden it just started, and I don't know why it's starting now. And there's nothing medically wrong with them. So what they do is they take them into a past life regression. And they find out that, you know, in a past life, maybe the life before or two lives before this life, he was stabbed in the back or shot in the back or something happened, an injury happened to his back. And there may have been something that in this lifetime that he did that caused that pain to come in. What's that?
Like it's almost bleeding through from the other life.
Right. And so how do we fix that? So it's go back and go back into that past life and see what happened in that past life that made that injury come to fruition. What did you do? How did you impact someone else that they did this to you? What's that karmic effect? And then that way we can fix it on this side. If we mend the bandages over there, then it'll fix it over here. And then maybe you won't carry that back into your next incarnation. So, doing all of these, he had a young woman come in, and she was beside herself, and she just said, you know, look, she goes, I don't believe in all this mumbo jumbo, but she said, I don't understand why I cannot make friends. I have never had a deep, lasting relationship or a friend, and so I want to know what is my problem. So he started his preparation, and he started taking her back, and all of a sudden she screamed out, and she said, oh my God, there you are. Mm-hmm. And he goes, who? Who is they? And she said, well, I'm home. I'm with my friends. And he's like, what friends? And she said, my friends. All my friends are here. Why are you guys here? I'm at home. What? So what he learned was she didn't go all the way back. She went back to spirit realm. All of her friends in her soul group were there. And she was asking, he goes, well, why are they there? And what it was she was a person that was very needy. She was a soul that was very needy. And every lifetime she'd been in, you know, she was trying to work on this, but it just never, she never could follow through with it. So she said, look, if I'm going to learn anything, nobody follows me. None of my soul group goes with me. And they all agreed, we're not going to go. She comes to this life, and she's a loner. So she's having to learn how to manage her life and learn certain things about herself so that she can move through and understand and probably progress her soul gifts. And so he was very intrigued by this. So he developed a process of how to do this, how to get them in between their life in between lives. And he'd done over like 7,000 of these life in between lives. And all these books that are laying up here are the stories.
I'm single watching that candle.
Yeah, did you? Yeah.
Are the stories.
Are these all the ones that are on this list?
Yes.
Okay.
Those are the stories that are on there and the different things that he's learned. And it really kind of, when I started reading it, it just kind of like put the building blocks together with Rob Schwartz's books and the other mediums and the channelers and, you know, the life in between lives. It just, it made total sense. So what it is he talked about, what he's found out is we have soul groups. Our soul groups are part of our family. And then there's little other groups. And those might be the people that we know that are the closest to us. And then there's secondary soul groups. And a lot of times we will step out of those secondary souls, into those secondary soul groups that we don't know really well, because we need to maybe experience what that soul group is doing. And we want to go with them back here to Earth or whatever planet we want to go to. That's basically what that means. Yes.
No.
Yes.
It's okay. I'm going to.
And everyone noticed that Stephanie said that everybody's human.
Yes.
So everyone caught that statement that she made. Mm-hmm. So that means everybody at some point in time will walk on this soil if they choose to. So
it's
by choice. So just because you have a snake person, you have something that you don't recognize. That person, at one point in time, had an option to put 2 feet on this soil. So you treat them like human, they will respond to you like human. Sorry, go ahead. It was something I found interesting that I wanted to make sure people caught.
When you talk about soul groups, you're talking about like in like some lives it may be a sister, in another life it may be your mother or an aunt,
yes,
or just a friend,
yes,
and then, you know, later on down the road, it could be a distant acquaintance, but somehow they are in each life in a different role.
And I think we've all been in those situations where we meet somebody that we've never met before,
and
we're like,
"Swear you know them from somewhere.
I know you from somewhere. I just know you, or I have that really strong connection with that person." And so you know that that's there. And when you get that, you just have that connection.
Trust
you just
that.
Know.
Trust that.
You trust it. Absolutely, you trust it. So what it was is that, you know, and I mean, it really delves into a really, really deep on so many levels, because there's nurseries there for the young souls. There's people that, I mean, there's a nursery, and then you have people that take care, that they stay there and they take care of them. And as that soul grows and thrives, then it goes off into a soul group, and then they nurture it, take care of it. You go to class, there's classes there. You're always learning. There's the Akashic Hall. You can always go to the hall and look at the Akashic records of your life, your past lives. They talk about that there's the space holograph, all the way around, where you can sit and put in different scenarios of how, when you're getting ready to want to come back to Earth, what you know, so you and your soul groups, you go in and you just say, okay, and you build different scenarios onto the timeline that you would like to go. And there's like a flow chart.
And they actually come back again and again if you fail to learn your lesson.
Well,
or
and there's but there's different, you know, and it's up to you when you want to come back. You're not forced into coming back.
But I mean, like, if you're trying to learn one particular lesson and it doesn't take the first 3 times, you can choose to come back a 4th time until you learn that lesson, and then you can move on to the next lesson you want to learn. kind of thing.
And then plus what you're learning, not what you're learning but here, but what you're learning in spirit realm.
In both places.
Right. And so, and then they, so they, you know, so those souls are nurtured, and then we're going to talk about how, when they decide they want to be born. So, mom gets pregnant, and they've already made this agreement. You know, I'll come, you know, when I'm good and ready. And it'll be a different scenario. So then it's kind of like, that little spirit only comes in and stays permanently with the mother in utero at 8 months. It jumps back and forth from spirit realm into that consciousness and that energy. So when the baby's kicking a lot, guess what? It's there. When it's not kicking or it's being quiet, it's in spirit. So it's back and forth because it's learning to start to acclimate coming back, what it's going to be like coming back, what it's going to be like being there, listening to mom's thoughts, listening to dad, listening to things that are going around that it hears on the outside, plus what it sees before it's born. It's taking it all in utero, and on the outside. As soon as that baby's born, that veil is the amnesia, and now it's learning to live life here on earth. But those are the agreements that, you know, it makes with mom. But they don't stay until about the 8th month is when they stay, but they're back and forth because they're still learning.
I've heard stories about small children, like toddlers, 4, 3, 4, 5 years old, talking about things that they could not have possibly experienced in that particular point. So is there times where the veil might be a lot thinner, or there's reasons for that, or, you know what
they
I'm
might
asking?
Be what? Thinner?
Like, you said the amnesia thing. How do they remember or have flashbacks or, you know, talk about stuff that obviously
because
was
they're
past
open.
Life
and
just
a lot
because
of it has
children
to do,
are more open.
And a lot
children
of
are more
a lot of it has to do
are.
With the energy that they're coming back with. So it's like we don't come here with all of our energy. A lot of our energy stays back in spirit, and that's our higher self. That's our higher self that talks to us. That's that little voice in our head. That's who we get to know. It's who we get to talk to. There's ego, and then there's our higher self. Our higher self's not going to lie to us. Ego will. But our higher self has all most of the energy. We only come here with about 30 to 40% of our energy. The rest of it's back in spirit realm. So when we go to sleep at night, where do we go? Back to spirit realm. We go back to spirit realm. We go back and we do schoolwork, or we go have fun, or we go to a different planet, or we go see our loved ones. How many times do we have dreams about our loved ones? Are we dreaming? Or are we seeing them in spirit realm? And that's when they're talking to us and they're telling us different things. But we're only remembering what we're supposed to remember. We don't remember everything. Yeah.
Can you talk about choice and opting out of diving out of those situations?
Yeah. So that's one thing about when the babies come here. So we're going to talk about when we leave and we go back home. So a lot of times what we do is when we leave, we're leaving the body, we're going to go back home. And either guides, angels, family, friends, loved ones, Jesus, Buddha, whatever you believe in, if they decide to come and escort you. So what it is, so if you're in a very debilitating illness and... your soul has just been kind of shattered, you're weak, the first thing they do is they take you to the healing temple. And you go to those healing temples, and you're worked on, and you're brought back. Your energy is brought back to you, slowly but surely. And then when you're able and you feel better, then you go before your council, and always your guides go with you. Go to your council. So you may have 5 to 6 council for your soul group. And that soul group, that council, then sits with you. They're not sitting there in judgment, and they do the life review with you. Now, people that have near-death experiences, they do that same thing, but it's not with their council. It might be with a guide or a loved one, but they're just shown a brief synopsis.
She's slipping in straw.
Hey, it's okay, baby. I have a doggy at home. Oh, you got a new straw, not mine?
Yeah, no, she was looking at...
That's okay.
Goofball.
Sorry. Thank you. A little comic relief.
Yeah, so then they decide that they're, you know, they have that talk, and they really go into it deeply, and they discuss, well, this is why you did this. And actually, you feel, so when you've hurt somebody's feelings, you're feeling it twice as much. Because you're feeling yourself and you're feeling them. So you're feeling, you're going to go through these things, and it's not that you're sitting in judgment, but it's what am I going to learn from this? What do I learn from this? And then you go from there, and then you go to your soul group, and you go to your house. You can manifest your own house. You can manifest your house back here on Earth. You can go be with your husband or your wife or your parents or wherever. You can go live wherever you want. You can go live on another planet, but you're always going to be with your soul group. And you're going to go to school. And you're going to learn. And then you get to teach. And then every level in that soul group has different colors. And you'll look in those books, and it'll be different colors that... blues are more advanced, so they can be junior guides. And yes, there are junior guides. So you have your main guide, and then he might be training somebody to be your junior guide, which can be sometimes family members or people of that soul group. And so that you're pissed off. So that's how the soul group works. And again, it's about going into those classrooms. It's about you teaching. It's about you learning different things. Now, what Brian's asking about is, because you learn this with talk to the entities, but there's also a thing called walk-ins. Now, it's not discussed in this book, any of the books, but there's an author by the name of Ruth Montgomery, and she wrote books back in the 60s and 70s. 60s.
Abraham Lincoln, they said, is a walk-in.
Could be. So what a walk-in is it's actually a spirit. And it could be part of your soul group. But you get to a point in your life, you're like, hey, I don't want to do this anymore. I'm stressed out. I'm done. I don't want to be here anymore. Certain things are difficult in your life. Now, you can have different walk-ins, different times in your life. You can have many walk-ins. So what happens is, a spirit just decides, I don't want to be here. Hey, can somebody else step in and take over for me? Somebody will step in and take over for you. I do know one person that she claims she's a walk-in, and she almost lost her marriage because of it. Because she had a near-death experience when she woke up. She said, I had a tough time looking at myself because I didn't know who in the hell I was. And I didn't know my husband, I didn't know my kids. And she said it took a long time for me to figure out what was going on, that she needed this entity to come in and help her get through. It was a bad car accident. And she said, you know, when I woke up once, I was like, I don't want to do this. And then she said, the next time I woke up, I didn't know who I was. And so that's what a walk-in can be. Do you want to expound on that a little bit more?
No, actually, the other thing is that you had talked about it before, and I thought it was important for people to see choice, is that a lot of times if your end goal is you come back to this earth and to die of an overdose. I'm just going to use this as a sacred conversation because that's what you were supposed to do in this life. And so that spirit gives you opt-out points that you can make decisions that would change that outcome.
Yeah.
So now you can have this opportunity to say, hey, you know what? I'm not going to do it. Even though this is my plan, guess what? I don't want to do it now. Or,
it's part of that flow chart.
Yep.
It's very much part of that flow chart when they can give you exit and entrance ramps. There's many exit ramps.
Mm-hmm.
And throughout your lifetime here on this earth. So on that exit ramp, it may be, you know, you may have like COVID. Let's just put it that way. You have COVID. How many people have COVID? Could you die from COVID? Absolutely you could. Or could you survive it and then exit off somewhere else? Because maybe you feel like life's worth living more now because things have changed in your life. So I'm going to survive COVID because I'm going to...
So you have multiple opportunities to leave. It's up to
yep.
you to choose which...
Yep.
You might originally say, hey, this is when I'm going to leave.
Mm-hmm.
But then you come to that point and say, I got to learn and
yeah.
let's stay a little while longer.
Yeah.
And okay.
Or what happens if somebody who was supposed to go before you didn't go, and now you need to stay with that person because the agreement was you stay with that person. So now that person affects your...
Different reasoning
yep.
for staying.
Right.
Okay.
So that's pretty much, you know, that in a nutshell as far as soul groups and stuff like that go. It just makes it, you know, so... You know, when I'm doing readings and we start talking and I throw out the soul group thing or this or that, you know, people are going to hang on. You know, and what are you talking about? And because it kind of helps me, it helped me understand a whole lot of things. And I can remember my grandmother talking about things. She called them, some people call them dimensions, some people call them worlds, some call them realms. But my grandma always called them planes. And I think a lot of the spiritualists talk
planes.
About planes, right? So she always called it the planes. So every time you came back, and I can remember my grandma talking to me about this when I was just a little kid, and I'm like, what's she talking about? You know, she said, and we talked about reincarnation, because I remember reading a paperback book I found of hers.
Many Lives, Many Masters, and Search for Bridie Murphy?
Yes, yeah, Bridie Murphy. The Bridie Murphy one, yeah. Brian Weiss, she hadn't read that one yet. But I mean, there was certain things. Charles, I can't remember his name, he used to write all kinds of things about the Bermuda Triangle. And
oh, yeah.
Or Hans Holzer's books. Back then, you know, so she would read all that stuff, you know, and then next thing I know, I'm swiping them books and I'm reading them, you know, but she always talked about there's different planes. She said, so when your soul, you know, you die and you come back to heaven, you know, depending on how you were on the earth is the different planes that you come to.
What lessons you
learn. And what lessons you learn, and you're on this plane. And then maybe if you do good on that plane, then you come up to the next plane. And really, I mean, I know the spirituals because do you know Melissa Leith?
She's, oh, yeah, they do.
She's a medium.
I love her.
Yes.
I love
yeah.
her. They used
yeah.
to come to Chesterfield all the time.
Yes.
And they
yes.
came to Akron to see the light one time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. She wrote a wonderful book, and anybody that's taken our class would know it's called Psychic Integrity. And it's an awesome book. It talks about psychic and mediumship. It's really a great book to have. And she's from the Spiritualist Church, and they do things different. Psychic Integrity.
Melissa
Leith.
I have a question for you. Go back for our choices. When a person comes, you said we have our choices when we're brought onto this earth. But then there's so many good. But then there's so many, you know.
Right.
Who wants to be that? Who wants to be Hitler? I mean, let's be honest here.
Well, you stop and think about it. Hitler had choices.
Free will. Yeah.
He had free will. He had a choice. Everybody has these choices. You get caught up in something. How many times have we gotten caught up in, you know, as we're teenagers, and, you know, peer pressure. So you stop and think about that and things that become radicalized, even back then, you know, it was... Again, you had high unemployment in 1936 in Germany, and so they started a new party. And we didn't have the communications that we have now, so by the time things were starting to get out of hand or snowballing, you know, a lot of that stuff was either covered up or it just wasn't talked about, or, hey, let's put our head in the sands and let Europe figure it out.
Well, I mean, also, too, I think with Hitler, anyways, I'm going to say that part of that conversation is, too, is how many people in this room would look at their best friend, give them, and say, hey, you know what, if there's a lesson you need to learn, I'm happy to let you learn that lesson. How many people would be willing to take a bullet for somebody? How many people would be willing to look at their friends and family and say, hey, you know what, this is a lesson you need to learn, you know what, I'm willing to help you learn that lesson. And so maybe his lesson to learn, maybe his problem was that he needed to learn what ultimate power was all about.
Right.
And understanding that he was the one that was making the shots and being in that position of pure power,
mm-hmm.
to understand what it's like to be in that position of ultimate power, to be able to fill that role.
And that's some of the things too, and when you read Rob Schwartz's book, and I think it's in the Your Soul's Gift, they talk about these groups. So it talks about the Holocaust, and it talks about a German person, and it talks about a Jewish person, and how these two came together in spirit. And you know, the accuser and that talks about sitting down and having a multitude of people, and you're explaining to them, there's going to be a mass execution, or there's going to be a mass genocide, or there's going to be, and you're going to be part of that. You're going to be those people in that oven. You're going to be the people in the gas chamber. This is what you agreed to. It's that sacrifice. For so that it doesn't happen again?
So like
is that why?
You hope the world learns their lesson?
You hope that, you know, somebody's learning from this so that it doesn't happen again?
Well, one of the things that they said 9/11 taught us also was that each person that was able got a hold of their family members and said that they loved them.
Mm-hmm.
So that is one of the most important things that we learned about that is to, you never know when you're going to die, to make sure that you tell somebody that you love them.
Mm-hmm.
But that's one of the most important things. What Brian said about having people learn a lesson, there's a story about these two ladies, they went to a medium, and they said, oh God, we're so worried about our brother. He's homeless, he's a drunkard, he's under a bridge. You know, we just don't know what to do. You know, blah, 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 blah. You know, used to have money. And the medium talked to them and said, your brother's actually a very advanced soul. He came this life to teach you to be more loving and giving.
Exactly.
And give you the opportunity
humility.
To do that, to learn that, to be loving, to be giving, to be forgiving, to be more compassionate. So you never know who is the master that might be the homeless person walking down the street. You never know what they are there to teach you.
Mm-hmm. And people will ask me sometimes if they have a Down syndrome or physically deformed, or how could God do that? That was part of their soul's plan. They chose to come that way to teach us something. Mm-hmm. So the,
and for them to learn something in return.
And they may have had a very privileged life and want to know what it's like to have physical ailments or something. So it's just fascinating. It's a never-ending...
I do have a question when you were talking about the babies. Because I worked in the NICU at Rainbow, those little children that come... Because... A lot of them didn't make it, and I used to say that they just go right back to baby heaven so the angels could take care of them. But once they're born, even though they're below 8 months, do they have, I mean, is their soul with them because they're there?
They eventually, they come in.
Okay.
They eventually come in.
Yeah.
To stay. And it's interesting because they talked about miscarriages. Mm-hmm. And it's said that, you know, a lot of them, all they want to do is, they're a brand new little soul. So they're brand new, and they've met up with that soul group. So they're taking, I hate to say it, baby steps. And in order, they just wanted to come in and feel that excitement that mom's pregnant and that there's a new life coming. And feeling that love here, love of dad, love of mom. Just feeling that experience of love. But it, really, they're not ready to be born yet. They're not developed enough mentally or spiritually or emotionally to be able to accept being fully born. But they want to experience that part of it, and that, you know, it's going to be, I'm not going to follow through. It's just not going to follow through. It's not going to happen. And that's what the main thing was, is you're talking about, Patty, is that love. And that's what they want to experience, is they want to experience what that part of it is. And then they go on and learn something else. And then maybe the next time they'll come in, you know, and decide that, you know, I want to stay. Another thing that they talk about, too, is suicide. That can be almost something to do inherently. And they talk about DNA, even in spirit world. That it is an inherent, maybe an inherent problem with that soul, and making those choices and learning to develop that strength and learning how to adapt to different scenarios, because they're always taking that easy out. Mm-hmm. If they don't want to learn something. With that, it's kind of like they don't see it really. They're not judging that soul. It's just maybe there's something there, and it's just going to take time for it to work itself out. And, you know, because there's people here on earth that say, well, you know, his dad did it, so it doesn't surprise me that, you know, or grandpa did it, so it doesn't surprise me that, you know, she didn't do it. You know, that's why she did it. You know, it's just kind of some of those things. Some of that can be inherently true because it's that way in spirit realm. And we also make choices where we go to another planet. We're a star child. We go live somewhere else. We want to experience what life is like on another planet. And I know when I went for... because I had questions that I wanted to ask when I went to a hypnotherapist. You know, why am I so interested in UFOs? Why do I have this burning desire? Why do I want to know this? Why do I want to know about, you know, this and space and blah, 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 blah. And it was all about UFOs. why am I so interested in cryptids, or, you know, things that go bump in the night? What, you know, what is that? And she, and I answered myself. It was basically, I lived on another planet. Plain and simple. That's, you know, when I look up and I see something or I want to watch something, it's because I'm yearning for that. I want to know, you know, there's no light bulb that goes off in my head says, oh yeah, I've been there. You know, there's nothing there that says that, but it's that.
It's in there.
It's that desire.
So my dad was big into UFOs, and my middle son is into UFOs and Bigfoot.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
it could be. I mean, I'm not going to say,
but,
you know.
I mean, say, I'm definitely, there. Those two are definitely part
right.
of a soul group.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. They probably lived on another planet. You did, too. You just don't know that. I mean, you know, that could be. Maybe you all went as a group and spoke eep, op, orc, orc.
I was going to say, this round, maybe you decided to be a human.
Yeah. And it there's a lot of them that talk, and there's ones that talk that, hey, I'm actually alien, and I decided to come here and live on Earth, and it's harder than hell to do.
Yes.
I don't belong here. Has anybody ever experienced that? Well, we know you.
Sorry.
But, I mean, so those are some of the experiences. And I'm not doing this to pick on you.
No, that's fine. I'm just trying not to say
you
too much. That's
bad.
All.
Can you
stop? Oh, yeah. Yeah. They can clear a room like nothing.
I know. Yeah.
And what do you, I have read for people who have met someone, a gentleman was in Russia with his soon-to-be bride, and he met a tour guide, and it was like, put your dudes up, let's go. And the poor tour guide was feeling the same thing toward him.
Mm-hmm.
And they decided to sit down and have coffee and drinks and discuss it, and they came to the realization they had both been warriors, like samurai.
Oh, my goodness.
And that was what caused that to happen. But they were able to walk through it, but other people, I just can't stand it. I'm not gonna, you know, and it's, again, it's part of the past life
right.
experience.
So,
yeah,
go ahead.
I was down in Mexico, and there was two women and their children, and they were taking all the children into the water. But the one little girl, she was screaming bloody murder. She was terrified of the wave. She was screaming. I mean, I'm not talking about just afraid of the water. I mean, she was hysterical. And what they did, right? That's what. And that's what they didn't understand. And they were shaming her and calling her all these names and babies. And here, in a past life, she had drowned. And she was so upset. And I didn't know what to say at the time. I mean, you know, I was just observing.
Bystander.
Yeah.
And they wouldn't have believed me.
This would give you a quick synopsis. It's called The Flip Side. And it's really about experiencing a hypnosis through the life in between lives.
Cool.
This Richard Martini, he has a book, and I forgot the book. It was at home, but I did bring the DVD. He is a film producer, and he had some experiences, and an experience with an old girlfriend that had passed away, and he married another woman, had a child, and it was interesting because he went to Tibet, and they were doing a documentary in Tibet, and he was one of the helping them to film, and they were going up, you know, into the Himalayas. And he said, I remember, he said, before he met his new wife, he was standing at this crossroads, and he was making a decision about what he was going to do with his life, and how he was going to meet someone, settle down, have children. You know, he loved going back there, but he was standing at the crossroads in this mountain. And So we're going to fast forward about 4 or 5 years. Meets his new wife. They have a child. And there's a book on the coffee table about the Himalayas. The book opens up. He's back in Tibet doing another film. And he's talking to his wife. And the little boy opens up the book and he points to the picture, and it's the picture of where he had stood at the crossroads of this mountain. And he said, "That's where I met Daddy." And she said, "What are you talking about?" "That's where I met Daddy." So he knew, this little boy's just wide open. So again, that soul group connection, they had that talk. He came here, wide open, and telling the story that that's where he met Daddy. He had a talk with Daddy. He said, "I talked to Daddy. That's how I knew I was going to be born." And so it's really a neat little, it's only like about 88 minutes. And I think it's either on Netflix or Amazon Prime, but I ordered this off of Amazon. You know, I had the book and read the book, and then I got this, and it shows different scenarios of people going under hypnosis to this life in between lives. And so Robert Schwartz writing these books and everything, and then he got hooked up with Dr. Michael Newton. They also have the Newton Institute, and that's where he went to learn. So now he is a hypnotherapist that does life in between lives. His life had just done a complete 360. He no longer, I forget what he used to do. I think it was something very analytical and very, you know.
Anal.
Yeah, very anal, yeah. And it's just, the passing of his father really, when he went to that medium, that just really kind of turned his world inside out, and he started to be able to understand what was going on. And I remember watching him doing a talk. It was over in Unity Church, and it was the first time I had ever seen an aura. And he was up there talking, and I just kind of was listening to him, you know. And you're just kind of like looking at him, and all of a sudden I just saw this gold aura come out of his throat area, out of his throat chakra. And it was this golden color, and I'm like, I mean, I'm just like doing this, I'm just like so shocked. And another person looked over at me, and she nudged me, and she said, "You see it too?" Mm-hmm. And I said, "Yeah." I said, "His throat?" She goes, "Because I'm seeing it." And I'm like, oh, you know, I was like so thankful, you know, what I was seeing. But Rob Schwartz is a really nice guy, very, very humble, really a sweetheart of a person. Michael Newton has since passed away. He passed away in 2016.
Yeah.
He passed away in 2016. But, you know,
his work lives on.
Yes, it does. And at the Institute, there's many people that go there that learn this technique. He developed that technique, and he learned it, so.
Where is it located? I've heard of it.
I don't know. You have to look it up online. I'm not sure where it's at. But I know a lot of people have went there to learn his technique and how he does it, and they're trained therapists. So, so with that, does anybody, I'm going to turn it over to Pat, and then when we're done, we'll have some Q&A.
I just wanted to add, if you want to read a book about a biography, in 2010, October of 2010, I was in Egypt. And I had read, 10 years before I went, a book called A Search for Umseti, U-M-S-E-T-I. And this, I believe, took place, have you read it?
No, but
I believe this took place in the 30s. This lady had this obsession about Egypt. She had to go to Egypt. She knew she lived in Egypt. She didn't know why she couldn't get it out. She went to Egypt, and she found her tomb. Mm-hmm. And it's just, it's an honest to goodness true. I found that paperback. I have a hard copy somewhere. I hope I didn't give it away. I found a $2 paperback, Search for Umsetti. And it was so funny because you know how paperbacks age, and it's only about that thick. And how they age now, and it's just like, I couldn't believe it. It was absolutely fascinating. Umseti, The Search for Umsetti. I had my first near death when I was 6 years old. My appendix saw my structure. And I was 1 week into first grade. I was so upset. And that would have been 1952, because I was six, born in 46. And then I had a second near death at 31. And that was 1977. And it wasn't any more acceptable in 1977 than it was in 1951, 52. And it was just, I thought everybody talked to dead people. I thought everybody did dead people come up to them and my uncle would do this on my head and call me Buckshot. And, you know, I thought everybody did it. I thought everybody talked to dead people.
Thank you first so much for joining this episode of Beyond the Cup. That was a great opportunity to learn more information about mediumship. I always encourage you, if you are checking out more information about mediumship, make sure you check out The Healing Brew. I also recommend you checking out Lilydale, which is in Lilydale, New York, right outside of Rochester. Great opportunity to find out more information about spirit, as well as learn more about the history of spiritualism. As always, if you guys do have more information for classwork or anything like that, make sure you check out The Healing Brew, as well as Heart Song's Journeys for her monthly full moon meditations that are always at The Healing Brew. Thank you guys so much for staying tuned for our wonderful throwback episode of Mediumship with the wonderful Reverend Pat Beers. Thank you all so much. Look forward to seeing you all beyond the cup.